book of Proverbs, the 15th chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're going to but read one verse for our text today, and that's the 6th verse, 15th chapter of Proverbs. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Let us pray. Father, I again want to thank you for the precious book, the Bible, the Word of God. And Lord, this preacher sure needs your power and your wisdom today. And Lord, I ask you to help me as I preach. And I pray, Father, for an attentive spirit in this place. God, that each one that's here today would just give attentive ear to the preaching of God's Word today. And I pray then that your will would be done in every heart. And Lord, that so that you would be honored and glorified in this place. I pray today, Father, if there's any here without Christ, oh God, this be the day of their salvation. And Father, I pray for, Lord, we as Christians, your people, God, we need help from you today too. We ask you for it. Lord, that your will would be done in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning, which I've entitled, In the Revenues of the Wicked is Trouble. I want you to go with me to another portion of Scripture in Isaiah, and will you hold your place in Proverbs? We'll be back there. But in Isaiah, the 57th chapter of Isaiah, I'd like to read two verses. I don't think there's any doubt that we would truly understand. We'll look at that in a moment. But in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. There's no doubt about the wicked has got a lot facing them. A lot of problems come their way. And over in Isaiah, the 57th chapter, the Word of God tells us in the last two verses, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." The first verse just simply tells us that the wicked is kind of like a troubled sea that is just blowing and churning up the waves. And I'm sure you've seen, if you haven't been physically somewhere where this is true, like in an oceanside or somewhere, probably seen pictures of it where much of the mire and dirt and the filth that comes from the sea and that's been dumped out there many times is brought up to the shore. It just washes it ashore, and they had to spend a lot of time trying to clean some of that stuff up. God said the wicked man is like that. He said he cannot rest. The waters cast up mire and dirt. Most of his life he just cast up mire and dirt upon the earth. He goes on and says that there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And again, he makes a very definite statement. We've looked at this portion before, but he's just simply saying to you and I, said a wicked man, he said there's no peace. He doesn't have any peace. He can talk about peace all he wants to talk about, but he has no peace. God said there isn't. Inside, he has no peace. He may put on a good show. He may act like he does. He may put on all kinds of things, but inside, he has no peace. And so we're going to talk about the wicked today. We're going to talk about the trouble that they face. I don't think anybody would have to have any trouble if you read the newspaper, you see news, and you see all the problems. It's just like a commentary for this verse of Scripture. Everywhere you look, you see death and tragedy. You see murder. You see rape. You see suicides. You see war. You see crime. You see heartaches everywhere. And God tells us that in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. And so this morning we're going to preach on that subject. First of all, he has trouble with money. Money's a problem to the wicked man because that's all in the world he thinks about. I was thinking this week about the multitudes of places I've been and the doors that I've knocked on and talked to the people inside those houses. And the answer has been, I don't have time to come to church on Sunday. I work on Sunday. Money has become more important to them than getting their soul right with God. Now you say, Brother Ross, a lot of that is legitimate. Well, I personally don't really think so. Because I think when you get right back to it, we got to go back to what God would have, what God would want for us. And so money becomes a real problem to the wicked man, the person who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You know, you can afford to lose money. But you cannot afford to lose your soul. You really can. I know Satan is so deceptive. I know he is. He's so deceptive in all of this. And I realize that. But it was like Gypsy Smith said. That was an evangelist, Gypsy Smith, in past years, many years. And here's what he said. It will cost you your sins if you come to Jesus. But it will cost you your soul if you don't. So people make choices what it is they want. Now, you can say, you know, I want to live the way I want to live. I want to live this way. I want to have a lot of money, and I want to spend time in the workplace and rather than time in the house of God, and I don't have time to look to God. I don't have time to worship God. You can say that if you wish, but the day's coming. Give account of your soul. Amen, to God Almighty. So there's all kinds of things like this. Sinners, most of the time, wicked people like the Bible was talking about here, those without Jesus Christ, most of the time, because they do not have a desire to serve God, their whole life is built around material world. That's what they think about. That's what they want. Pleasures of this world and material world, that's their whole life. That's what they want. Amen? So they're going to have trouble with money. And the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Not only that, they're going to have family trouble. Always, for those who know not Christ, they've chosen not to say with Joshua, as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. They've made a choice. They've decided that they are absolutely not going to raise their family in the admonition and the nurture of the Lord. They made that decision. They've decided that somewhere in their life. They've decided that. And so because of that, family problems come in. And the rest of their life, they have all kinds of family problems. They have problems with their children, have family problems with their marriage many times. They have problems, all kinds of problems, because they decided not to serve God Almighty. Now, here again, the wicked is going to have trouble with the family, you see. And we talked in Sunday school about this morning, so I don't want to elaborate a whole lot. But my goodness, folks, you got to understand something. God has a way for us to live. God has a way for us to raise our children. God has a way for us to walk with Him. And if we'll just do it, my, we can avoid ourselves so many problems. Amen? We talked about we didn't have any perfect parents here this morning, but let me say to you, we do have parents, some parents that do a better job than others. I mean, amen? And you know the reason is because they follow the Bible. They follow the Bible, whatever the Word of God says. But the wicked man, in the revenues of the wicked, is going to be troubled. And he's going to have family troubles, you see. Much of that family trouble is uncalled for. Just absolutely uncalled for. Not necessary. Does not have to be. So again, I'm saying to you folks, why don't we just do it God's way? Why don't we just, you know, first of all, get saved if we're not saved. Get saved and give our life to the Lord and just do it God's way, you see. If we're saved and we're not doing it God's way, why don't we just confess up to that and just simply do it God's way? You see, because there's going to be trouble. Not only that, the wicked, in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. He's going to have trouble with law. I've never seen a time in the history of America where they're building so many prisons. They just build prison after prison after prison because there's so many people out there that's breaking the law. The wicked man's going to have trouble with the law. He's not going to want to do what the law said. He's not going to be obedient to it. In fact, there's many times a drunk man, he spends half of his life trying to get out of the drunk tank. He just spends his life just trying to get, he spends half of his life with headaches. He spends half of his life getting up with a hangover. Problems that should not have to be. You see, it's foolish. No, we don't need those kind of problems, you see. But the wicked man is going to have those kind of trouble. He's always going to have trouble with the law. There's those who stole. There's those who have murdered. There's all kinds of lawbreakers out there. And they're spending the rest of their life, you see, sorry a lot of times when they get up, sorry that they spent their life like that. Was not necessary. They made that choice. And people are making that choice today. They're just simply choosing. We talk about choice all the time. But let me say to you folks, you know, most of us, we just make our choice the way we're going to live. You say, Brother Ross, some of this I couldn't help. No, most of the time we could help it. Most of the time we just make a choice. We decide. A person decides not to get saved. So he ends up in hell for the rest of eternity. Foolish. Amen. A Christian just decides not to follow the Word of God and all the troubles that come with it. Foolish. Silly. Because God wants us to go according to His Word. You see, we can avoid so many troubles. And then, of course, in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. You're going to have trouble with their health. Venereal disease. bodies just ridden with venereal disease. It's a horrible thing, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but folks, you ought to read the statistics on all of that and how many venereal diseases they are and how many is affected in America today. Why? Because they made wrong choices. They decided to not live a scriptural life, a godly life, and that would honor Jesus Christ, so they made this decision, and because of it, they're facing the rest of their life with disease-ridden body. They're going to have health problems. The drunkard, he spends much of his life, a lot of times, not always, of course, but a lot of times spends the rest of his life with cirrhosis of the liver. Why? Because he made a choice to drink. He decided. The smoker, he decides to go ahead and smoke and spend the rest of his life smoking, so he ends up with lung cancer. You want to talk to my wife about it? Now, she didn't smoke, but her sister did. You want to talk to her and see how horrible it is? Because it was lung cancer caused by smoking that killed her sister. And a lot of them want to say, well, it wasn't smoking, wasn't this, wasn't that, you know, and all that. Yes, it is. Because I'm just simply saying, you know what, you chose. We choose to do wrong. So we do that, and we're going to end up down the road. Now, you say, Brother Ross, am I a horrible person if I smoke? I'm just simply saying this, you're going to pay some costs for it. You're going to pay some costs for it. And right now, you may not be paying it, and you think you're getting by, but you're not getting by. See, there's always a cost to be paid. I usually don't say anything about it. I smoked when I was a young man. I am so ashamed of it. I am sorry I ever smoked. I don't even like to mention it, but I'm just simply telling you, I'm saying it for your benefit. You can quit. You can if you want to. You decide to. And it'd be the greatest thing in the world if you do that. Because it'd be such a help for you. It'd be a good testimony for Jesus Christ. It'd help you, your health, help your family, all those kind of things. I'm just simply saying, though, there's in the revenues of the wicked, there's always trouble, you see. And a lot of those troubles come up with health problems. Al Capone. Anybody ever heard of Al Capone? Raise your hand at me. Amen. You heard of Al Capone? You know, he was a tough guy. And he was a wicked man. One of the most wicked men in crime that ever was. Killed multitudes of people. He was a tough guy. No one done him wrong. He'd just rub them out. But did you know how Al Capone died? He died from the effect of syphilis. He just eat his brain up. When he was in jail, they'd play cards, and he was a sniveling, almost like a sniveling child. They'd play cards, and someone beat him in cards. He'd say, rub them out, kill him. Died of syphilis. Oh, he's a big guy, wasn't he? Tough guy, wasn't he? Oh, yeah, he murdered many people. Now, everybody was scared to death of him. Where's he at now? You betcha. You know where he's at. I'm just simply saying to you, yes, in the revenues of the wicked, there is trouble. And many times it's health trouble. Did you read in the paper the other day? Some of you maybe follow sports. I don't really follow the whole lot, but I read sometimes some articles, especially if they're human interest articles. I read about John Daly. He's a golfer. John Daly had one of the futures, best futures that a golfer could have. He could hit that ball, I mean long distance. He's a big fella. And alcohol got the best of him. And they said the other day, I read in the paper the other day, he was out on the golf course and he couldn't even finish the golf. The next hole, he was shaking so bad. And he got to shaking so bad that he stood there and cried like a baby and wept. Here's a big old man out there. Had the world by the tail. See, in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Amen. Not only that, not only do they have trouble with money, and they have trouble with family, and have trouble with the law, and have trouble with their health, they have trouble when it comes time to die. Deep down, inside, any person who's not saved are afraid to die. Now you can say they're not. They can give you all the kind of whatever they want to say, and they can act like it now, but they're afraid to die. I remember some years back, and it's always stuck with my mind. I don't remember whether it was in a sermon that I read or it was in a book. I don't remember. But this preacher was telling the story about it. He was in a hospital room, and there was a man there that was an atheist and did not believe in God. And he was saying, I'm not going to die. I refuse to die. I'm not going to go. But the preacher said, but he did. But he did. And you know that's true of every single one of us. There's coming a day when we're going to die. Amen. Don't make a difference whether we want to, whether we're ready to. There's coming that day when we're going to die. So in the revenues of the wicked, there is trouble and There's problems when a person comes to that place where it's time to die. It's appointed once unto man to die, and then cometh the judgment. It's appointed once. He's going to die. Everybody's going to die. Now, I know we get into theology and we say that we're looking for the rapture and all that. I know that. But, you know, if rapture don't happen, we're going to die. I know the rapture is going to happen soon. I hope it happens today and all of that. But if it doesn't happen before we come to the place of death, we are going to die. And in the revenue of the wicked, there is trouble. Trouble of death, and then there's trouble when he meets God. Can you imagine meeting a holy God and saying, I refused to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I just refuse it. I am not going to put my faith and trust in Jesus. Can you imagine facing a holy God that sent his Son to die the horrible death that he died on the cross of Calvary for your sin, and you have the audacity to say, I'm not going to get saved? Can't imagine it. You know, you think a holy God's going to look over that and just shake his head and say, oh, well. The Bible tells us they're going to be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever because of our rejection of Jesus Christ. And then can you imagine looking at as a Christian and facing a holy God and saying to God, I just didn't really care enough about going to church. I didn't care. And I know your Son died for me, but I'm instructed to be in the house of God. and I'm instructed to be there, but you know, I just don't care enough about it. It just doesn't bother me. Can you imagine looking at a holy God and saying that? I can't imagine that. Can you imagine facing a holy God and saying, it didn't make a difference the way I lived. I know I got saved, but you know, I can live any way I want to. Can you imagine facing a holy God and saying that? In the revenue of the wicked, there is trouble, and there's trouble when they meet God. Amen? So I'm simply saying to you, say, Brother Ross, what in the world do we do? What's the cause of the problem or the trouble of the wicked? Let me tell you what the problem is. It's a thing which we refer to and we think about as that physical heart, but it's the heart of man is the problem. Listen to what the Bible says. The heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? See, Brother Ross, what's the problem with the wicked? Why? Why in the world do they have so much trouble? Why is it? Because they've got a heart that's desperately wicked. Now, I don't know whether I can get this over to you or not. I hope I can, because you're going to look at yourself and you're going to say, I'm just not such a bad person. But God says just the opposite. He says the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Now, that's what God said about it. And I'm saying to you today, what in the world is it? Why is there so much trouble for the wicked? The reason is because of their heart's condition. What they need is salvation. You don't need to turn over a new leaf. You need to get saved. So I'll try to do better. I'll try to be a better person. Folks, that'll fail every time. You'll probably end up worse than you was before. What we need is true salvation, born again, putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and letting him then take our life and do something with it and rearrange it and make us different. He doing it, not because we do that to be saved, but because we are saved, we turn our life over to Christ and let him change us. Salvation is the only thing can do that. So I'm saying again, what is the problem? The problem is the heart. That's the problem. Your problem today, my problem today, is basically that old heart of ours, you see. And we need to understand that. We need to realize that. And listen to what he says about the heart. He said it's deceitfully wicked. Folks, listen to me. The heart will deceive you. It'll deceive you to think it's all right if I go out here and just live the way I want to. It's all right to do that. No, it isn't. That's an old deceitful heart's telling you that. It's all right. Yeah, my heart deceived me for the first quite a few years of my life. I was 26 years old before I got saved. And most of that time, did you think that I thought I wasn't saved? No. That old heart was deceitful, telling me, Bobby, you're a pretty good boy. You don't do anything that bad. You go to church here and there. You've been all right. No heart would deceive me for 26 years. I had joined the church. I had been baptized. And that heart deceived me. It's a deceitful thing. It'll deceive you too. You need to get to the Word of God and say, you know what God says, though, I need to be born again. I need to be saved. I don't need to turn over a new life. I don't think hope the future is going to be better for me. And I just I'll maybe get in by the skin of my toe. No, teeth. No. You just need to be born again, as the Bible says. It's deceitful. And let me assure you, that old heart is a deceitful. God said it was. And He said it's deceitful above all things. I mean, that means anything. That heart is a deceitful thing. It'll deceive you. Do you hear me? And then He says also it's wicked. And in fact, He didn't even say it's wicked. He said it's desperately wicked. Now, I know here's where we're going to have. Let me give you an illustration. I have a brother by the name of Herschel. I pray for him continually. My brother Herschel is a good man from a worldly standpoint. Okay? I want you to know that. If I went to him right now, he would do anything for me, I'm sure, that I would ask him to do. Comes down here when we have the Ross reunion, and he says to me before he leaves, he says, did this 2 years in a row, and he said, boy, he said, you know, you got a good ministry here, and he said, it takes money to run that ministry, and he said, I want to give you something for the church. He said they've been kind to let us come here and all that. I said, Herschel, we don't need anything. We're just fine. Oh, no, Bobby, no. And he'll usually put a $50 bill in my hand and say, you just put that wherever it needs to be. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to be good. And he is good. I'm talking about from the worldly standpoint. He'd do anything for us. He means well. I've sat and talked to him one time, and here's what he said to me. He said, well, if it means having a good heart, he said, I think I'll make it to heaven all right. He grew up in the same church I grew up in. I didn't hear the gospel. I didn't hear that you had to be born again. I explained that to him, but it's just kind of like it went over his head, and he's going back again to these things of the works and all of those things. And what I'm saying to you folks is, that's not it. A heart is desperately wicked. It's capable of anything that it can do. It's capable of doing it. Given the right opportunity, the right circumstances, it's capable of doing wicked things. That's what God said about it. So what do we need? Well, we need to have a new heart. One that's been born again. Jesus Christ is the only one can do that. You can't do that on your own. You can't conjure up some goodness. God will be satisfied. It don't work that way. He can only be satisfied with Christ. And a person being born into the family of God, and let me say to you, I don't care what your condition is, I don't care who you are, it makes no difference. God loves you and wants you to be born again. You say, Brother Rob, you don't know what I... It doesn't make any difference what you've done. That's why Jesus came. Amen. He loves you so much. He loved this preacher enough in 1966 to save him. Amen. And he would save my brother. He would save yours. He'd save you. If you're not born again, the heart is desperately wicked. It's deceiving. It'll deceive you, and it's desperately wicked. And in fact, he even says, and also that who can know it? He asked the question, who can know it? Let me say this. Let me answer that question. Only God. Only God can know the heart. You know what, folks? We are so caught up in self. We think we know our own hearts, and we don't. God says we don't. We do not know. We don't know our heart. Only God can know our heart. Who can know it? Oh, you think you know your heart, but no, you don't. God says no. Who can know it? Nobody can. See, because why? It's a deceiving thing. It's a desperately wicked thing. That's why in the revenue of the wicked, there's trouble. The heart is wrong, you see. You know, heart disease, the physical heart disease, is known as the silent killer. They say that multitudes and multitudes, probably thousands of people every year could be saved, could save their life if they would only be a little attentive to what's going on in their body. because it's a silent killer, and in all the time that we're living, think we're doing all right, it does some things. Now, thank God I'm looking for Brother Charles. Thank God he got in before it happened. Thank God for Brother Ali. He got in before it happened. But you didn't know all those things was going on in your body. Brother Lloyd Nicholas is here. Who else? I don't want to miss you. Who else is here that had a problem with their heart? Jack Kessner. Who else? Brother Bo. Brother Poet. Brother Poet. Yes, I'm sorry. Brother Poet. Anyone else? And I think if I asked them, you may have seen some signs, but you didn't know all of that was going on in your body. And you know what? The thing about it is, it's a silent killer. And you know, he tells us, I mean, even medical experts tell us, if we would just be careful and watch for these little signs along the way, we could probably stop it. You know what I'm saying? Do you know that God puts out warning signs about the heart that needs to be saved? You know, preacher after preacher, in most cases, has preached to people who just need to be saved and they wouldn't listen. You know, sometimes God would just speak to a person and encourage them about getting saved, the need of God in their life, and they won't listen. You know, the multitudes that are dying daily and going to hell simply because they would not listen. Amen. So I'm simply saying to you folks, God wrote a book, a wonderful book, and he told us this: if you've not been saved, if you're not born again, you're going to hell. Whew, that's just plain, isn't it? But he says you can go to heaven if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, call upon him and receive him as personal Savior, you can go to heaven. What a tremendous truth. Amen. And yet people turn it down and turn it down over and over again. The Bible talks about the heart. He says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Folks, listen, we do things because of our hearts. In the revenue of the wicked is trouble. Why? Because they've got a wicked heart that's never been born again, never been saved. So we got to be careful about our heart, because out of it come the issues of life. So you say, Brother Ross, what do I do about this? Well, let me first of all say to we as Christians, God's people, okay, we know, if you know you're born again, you know you're saved, I want to talk to you first of all. I don't know whether you know it or not, but God's looking for some donors. Oh, you say, you mean heart donors? No, he's looking for some donors of time to warn people about this heart problem. If they die in the condition that they're in without Christ, they're going to go to hell. Now, that's a truth that we know is true in the Bible. But I say to you, most Christians do not believe that. Not really believe it to where they put it into practice. They do not believe it. They go on day by day by day by day by day, never ever telling anybody, even though they know their people that is not saved, never telling them about Jesus Christ and the danger of dying without Christ. So I'm simply saying God is looking for a people who will absolutely donate their time to telling people and warning people about their heart condition. You know, a bunch of disciples gathered together in a place, and God gave them a simple program. He just simply said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a simple program. In other words, warn them about their heart problem. And you know what? That command is for every single one of us. It's not just for me or for a deacon or for a Sunday school teacher or anyone else. It's for you. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The creatures that are around you, that live around you, that you meet. Preach the gospel to them. Why, if they die, they're going to hell. Do you believe that? I mean, do you really believe it? You know, I really believe there's some don't believe that. It's you and my responsibility to preach the gospel God has given us. The answer. But here's what you got to have if you're going to do it. First of all, you're going to have a burdened heart for lost souls. You're going to have to care about the lost. You have to have a burden on your life about the lost. Not only that, it's going to have to be such a heavy a burden that it's come to a place where it's a broken heart over the lost. Just a broken heart. Caring enough that your heart is so contrite, broken, because people are going to hell. And not only that, you're going to have a burning fire within you. It'll just burn and keep burning until you get out there and tell people about Jesus. Having a tent revival coming up. I want to see folks saved. I want to see God do some marvelous things for our church. We need some miracles here from God. We need our hearts stirred. Believe me, we need it. As a pastor, I know the state of my flock. I'm supposed to, and I do know it. And we need revival. When you can sit and hear about the lost and just sit there with mumness on your face, you and I need revival. When it doesn't bother you, when the preacher talks about people going to hell, you need revival. Amen. I mean, you need real revival. And I'm asking God for it. I'm asking God for revival, and first of all, my own soul. I need revival. And you do too. If you try to blame everybody you want to blame, you can come up with all the ideas you want to come up with, but when it comes right down to it, the trouble is there because the Bible says it's there because you're wicked. And you say, oh, I'm not wicked. The Bible says you are if you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let's go back to the Bible now, what you think of yourself. And what you need is to be born again. You need to be saved. Just like I did in 1966. You need to be saved and you need to not put it off. Don't you put it off and say, well, I know, but I'll get this all straightened out in my life. My life is in a mess right now. That's just old Satan telling you to put it off. You're not to put it off. You're to do it now. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time, right now, to get saved. Now, I'm saying to you, if you're here without Jesus Christ, you say, Brother Ross, I do not know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. This is the greatest time in the world to receive Christ as your personal Savior. You're getting the opportunity this morning to answer a call that the preachers preach and just come up this aisle here in a few minutes, or you come now if you wish, but come up this aisle and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'm just simply saying to you folks, in the revenue of the wicked there is trouble. Don't blame everybody else. Don't blame anything else. Turn to God. Amen. Just turn to God. Receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and then go on in life. That doesn't mean the other kind of trouble won't be there. You'll have to face it, but you've got Jesus Christ to help you in that trouble, and he'll lift those burdens for you. He'll help you throughout life. Yes, he will. But the main thing you need to do is get saved, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Bow your heads, please. Open. Close your eyes. Bow your heads. Say, Brother Ross, today, right now, to the best of my ability, I know there was a time, absolutely a time. Now, remember this. I'm not talking about joining the church. I'm not talking about getting baptized. I'm not talking about some foolish religious experience. I'm talking about a time when you truly called upon Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, and you know that you were saved. You know that Christ come into your heart, and you was born again in the family of God. And you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven. Raise your hand, please. Thank you. Say, Brother Ross, I don't know if I'm saved today. I just don't know. I don't know if I died right now whether I'd go to heaven or not. If I took my last breath right now, I'm just not sure whether I would go to heaven or not, but I sure am concerned about it. Would you please pray for me? Again, I'm not going to call your name out. I'm not going to do anything like that. You're just indicating you want me to pray for you. Just lift your hand up, please. Just lift your hand up. Say, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Someone else. So just lift your hand up. Say, I'm concerned. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I'm concerned. I know I need to be saved. Someone else, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your marvelous grace, your goodness and kindness. And I thank you for loving us so much. And Father, I pray for that one lifted their hand today. I pray, Lord, that you'll just simply deal with that heart. And Lord, here at the invitation in just a moment, Lord, that they'll be willing to come and step forward and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There's others that could not lift their hand today, Father, and I pray that you deal with them, work on them, convict them of their sin, make them see what is right and what is true, and Lord, help them also to receive the Lord today. We'll thank and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.